Chapter 35. By the time Jesse and Suit were in Jesse's office, having coffee and donuts, Molly and Sonny were in Sonny's car and on their way to Maine. Jesse had already spoken to Lily and arranged to come by the house at 11.
"Maybe you should have your own room here," Lily had said.
"Only with a view."
"They all have views," she said, before hanging up.
Now Suit said to Jesse, "Why does Sonny get to drive?"
"She wants to be Louise," Jesse said.
"From that movie, Thelma and Louise?" Suit said.
"Look at you," Jesse said.
Jesse drank some Dunkin' coffee. He'd already eaten two jelly-filled donuts. He wasn't worried about donuts. He could quit them anytime he wanted. He just didn't want to.
"But Thelma and Louise were criminals," Suit said.
"Badass," Jesse said.
"Molly and Sonny think they're badass."
"Because they are," Jesse said.
When he got to the Canes, a houseman Jesse didn't recognize showed him in. Lily was waiting for him in the precinct of the big front room she called the sunroom. Her granddaughter Samantha was with her. Jesse vaguely remembered her as a high school soccer player. She was as tall as Lily, not quite as blonde.
"I know you've previously met Samantha Kane," Lily said.
"Granny knows everything," Samantha said. She turned the kind of sarcastic smile on Lily that Jesse noticed kids were mastering at earlier and earlier ages.
"Samantha," Lily said.
Jesse sensed he'd come in on the end of something unpleasant between them.
"Center middle, as I recall," he said. "Number 10, right?"
Samantha smiled at him now and seemed to mean it. He could only imagine the effect of that smile on college boys.
"Good memory, Chief Stone," she said. "You a soccer fan?"
"Not even a little bit," he said.
"Samantha is on her way to Harvard Business in the fall," Lily said. "Her plan is to be running Kane Enterprises eventually."
The kid snorted.
"I could do it better than dear old Daddy even without a business degree."
Lily said, "She's off to Europe for hiking through the Alps. They call it the Tour du Mont Blanc. Or it's just an excuse to meet European boys."
"I promise to stay out of trouble, Granny," she said. More sarcasm.
"You cause quite enough around here," Lily said.
"You forget I'm 21 now," Samantha said.
"And proud of it," Lily said.
Jesse was thinking that somebody should ring a bell and end the round.
Samantha sighed. "I didn't come over here to have a fight. Just say goodbye," she said.
"But whatever. See you in a week or so."
Now Lily was the one who sounded sarcastic.
"I look forward to that, dear," she said.
And then her granddaughter gave a quick wave to her and Jesse and was gone.
"I see a lot of you in her," Jesse said.
"Is that supposed to be a compliment?" she said.
"You were young once, too," Jesse said.
"Please don't remind me."
Now she sighed.
"But you're not here to talk about me or Samantha."
"I'll try not to take up too much of Witt's time," Jesse said. "I'd just like to know if there's any possibility that his life might have intersected at some point with Paul Hutton's."
"He says no," Lily said.
"Just like to hear it for myself."
He followed her back to the foyer, up a curving staircase and down a long hallway. He heard Whit Kane before he saw him in the wheelchair, in front of another view of the Atlantic.
It was a terrible sound that started with sneezing and then became something that sounded like a one-man lung ward.
"He starts like that sometimes," Lily said, "and it's as if he's never going to stop."
She turned and left the room. Karina was standing next to the wheelchair and waved Jesse over, pushing the chair out onto the terrace as she did. She gestured to a chair out there, where Jesse sat. Karina stood next to Whit Kane, a hand on his shoulder. When Jesse had first met Whit Kane, not long after arriving in Paradise, it was as if every room organized itself around him once he was in it. He was tall, taller than Jesse, with a thick head of what was gray hair at the time,
always with a tan, no matter the season, a voice and presence bigger than he actually was. Jesse wasn't sure how old he was now. Maybe Lily's age, maybe a few years older. But it seemed irrelevant as Jesse looked at what was left of him, blanket over his legs, wearing a cardigan sweater despite the heat of the day, his body seeming to have collapsed into itself, like one of those buildings you saw implode on television. His hands were in his lap, almost as if he'd forgotten they were there. But when Jesse sat down, the old man surprised him, extended his right hand and said,
"Jesse, God damn, it's good to see you."
Jesse gently shook his hand, as if afraid it might break if he gripped it too firmly. The old man smiled.
"God damn," he said again. "That's no way to shake a man's hand, even one older than dirt."
He started coughing again. There was nothing to do but wait for it to run its course. Karina patted his back the way you would a baby's. Then she handed him the glass of water from the tray in front of him.
"Allergies, can you believe it?" Whitcaine said. "After every goddamn thing that's happened to me, I've got to deal with these allergies."
He stared out at the water. Jesse did the same. He went back and forth on whether he believed in an afterlife. But Jesse knew he didn't want this one to end for him like Whitcaine's. Vultures already circling. "Whit," Jesse said finally, "you know why I'm here, right?"
"Because you missed me?" the old man said and laughed, which touched off another coughing fit.
When he stopped this time, he said,
"You never liked me all that much, admit it."
"Not true," Jesse said.
"Don't lie to a dying man," he said. "You just thought I was the dickhead in paradise with the most money."
Jesse grinned. Maybe there was still some fight in the old man, even some fun.
"Am I under oath?" Jesse said. "Never bullshit a bullshitter," Whitcaine said.
"So," Jesse said, "I assume you know about the murder I'm investigating."
"The Florida man," he said. "My wife and Karina told me."
"Then you must also have been told he came here the night he died," Jesse said. The old man nodded.
"They told me that, too."
"What I'm just wondering is if he might have come here to see you," Jesse said. "He worked in the horse business, and I know you spent time around it." Whitcaine smiled.
"God damn, Jesse. There were some good-looking girls in that world. Talk about ass. Those riding pants? I'd get down there for the season, and my dick'd be hard the whole time."
A raspy sigh came out of him. No coughing spell behind it this time.
"Those were the days," he said. "I used to wish there were pills to stop my dick from getting hard."
Jesse looked up at Karina, hands still on his shoulder. They sat in silence until Whitcaine said,
"You got secrets, Jesse?"
"Pretty sure everybody does," Jesse said.
"Well, I got some buttes," he said. "But it was never a secret that I wasn't somebody you fucked with. I protected myself. Protected what I had, whatever it took."
He nodded again.
"You know where I learned it? Some very bad guys in Boston I did business with from time to time. Joe Braz, Gino Fish, Desmond Burke. Guys like that. Ones who got it done, whatever it took." He smiled. "I always got it done."
Whitcaine pointed a shaky finger at Jesse.
"You ever hear of them?"
"Desmond Burke used to be father-in-law to a friend of mine," he said.
"Ask how he handled things back in the day," Kane said. "Probably still does."
He needed to bring him back from wherever it was he'd just been. Jesse took out the picture of Paul Hutton he'd brought with him and handed it to Whitcaine. He told Jesse that Lily already had shown him the same picture. Jesse asked if he'd take another look at it. Kane held it close to his face, handed it back to Jesse.
Nope, he said.
Jesse handed the photo to Karina now. What about you? He said.
I told you before, Chief Stone, she said. I do not know this man.
Sure it's not one of your old boyfriend's cat? The old man said.
No, Mr. Kane.
You can only imagine what this one was like when she was young, Whit Kane said. Am I right?
Mr. Kane, Karina said, talking to him the way she would to a child. The old man leaned his head back suddenly, closed his eyes. For a moment, Jesse was afraid he'd fallen asleep. But when he opened his eyes, he reached down and angled the wheelchair toward Jesse.
You know what all this is, he said. Me being in this chair like this. Dues for all the fun I had. All the parties and all the booze and all the ass I grabbed with both hands.
Those were the days, Jesse said. The old man closed his eyes again. This time they were closed so long, Jesse briefly wondered if he'd died.
All that's left to do is make amends, he said,
in a voice so soft Jesse had to strain to hear it.
Settle up.
Then he was asleep. Karina put a finger to her lips.
Jesse left them there, Karina's hand still on Whit Kane's shoulder. Jesse walked down the stairs. Lily was no longer in the sunroom. Jesse showed himself out. The last thing he heard as he opened the front door was more coughing from upstairs. The old man had talked about dues, but he'd talked about making amends. So had Paul Hutton. Whose secrets had he died knowing?